When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's time to play like a Jet
with your host, Scott Mason.
Play like a Jet. What does that mean?
Garrett Wilson. Wow! What a catch! Touchdown, Jets! That kid's amazing. Gibson on the return. Near side. I don't see any flags. Gibson inside the 30. Hits the Jets. And he's going to go! Jets win it! Touchdown, rookie Xavier Gibson. Game over.
Allen has time. Intercepted. Sauce Gardner's got it, Allen. Tripped up. He could not get past Jermaine Johnson. Oh, look at the speed of Breece Hall. He's done it again. Breece Lightning. 62 yards for the touchdown.
And he's sacked again by Quinnen Williams. What a beast. Number 95 for the Jets.
Listen. Thank you.
This is Play Like a Jet. My name is Scott Mason. You can follow me on Twitter at PlayLikeJet1. And it's time for a little Jets-centric draft talk. So for that, we bring in our friend who is no stranger to this show. He is the founder and owner of WalterFootball.com, my buddy Walter Cherepinski. Hey, Walt, what's up, brother?
Not much. Just watched the 63-21 Raiders-Chargers game. So I think I'm excited to talk about the draft after seeing that debacle.
The Chargers are probably looking forward to the draft as we speak. Certainly many teams are right now. The Jets are interesting, though, because they did win that game that nobody expected them to win against the Texans. And now, of course, they go up against the Miami Dolphins tomorrow. Depending on what happens in that game, we'll see if they drop in the draft order or continue to rise. As of us recording this right now, Walt, because the Raiders beat the Chargers, the Jets move up to number 6 in the draft. So despite the fact that they ended up winning last week, they still wound up in the same spot that they started in before the game against the Texans last week. Just kind of goes to show you that everything is contingent upon what's going on around with the other teams. Let's talk about some of the hot press items here with the NFL draft. Michael Penix Jr., according to Charlie Campbell, your guy over at WalterFootball.com, looks like he's probably slated to go day 2. I'm not really surprised by this. And obviously this can change depending on medical and how he does in drills and all of that stuff. But I've been saying for a while, Michael Penix Jr., 24 years old, he's had the 2 ACL tears, and he's a guy that has some deficiencies in his game. And I know that Dane Brugler at The Athletic has said in the past that he thought that Michael Penix was more of a round 3, round 4 kind of guy. Seems like that's what Charlie believes as well.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. I think the comparisons to Hendon Hooker make a lot of sense. So, you know, it's an older quarterback coming off injuries, or maybe not coming off injuries, who's had injuries in the past. Unlike Hooker last year was actively coming off torn ACL, whereas, you know, Penix is actually like playing right now. So I think that's the difference. And I think that he could maybe go into the second round. Like Hendon Hooker last year were not coming off a torn ACL. I think he probably would have been a second-round pick instead of a third-round pick. You know, it wouldn't surprise me if he fell to the third round, but I think that, you know, given the dire need at quarterback around the NFL, and there's been some horrible quarterback play this year, I think more so than I can ever remember because of the injuries. I think that some team's going to take him in round 2 just because like there's a huge need at the position, especially – I mean, there always is, but especially now.
Walt, goes without saying that quarterback is not at the top of the Jets' needs, but we'll see what happens with Zach Wilson down the stretch. If he doesn't continue along the lines of what he did against Houston and crumbles, the Jets will be looking to move on. And even if he does play well, it's possible they trade him because there are reports that the Jets and Zach Wilson had mutually agreed to part ways at the end of the season. So it's definitely possible that if Michael Penix Jr. is sitting there in the 3rd or 4th round, maybe the Jets jump in there. Obviously, it's a different story when you're taking a quarterback in the 3rd or 4th round as opposed to the 1st round because of what you're actually sacrificing in terms of draft capital. Another position that's certainly not going to be at the top of the Jets list, especially after they just invested back-to-back years in the 1st round and they may be looking to pay Bryce Huff, is the edge rusher position, but Jared Verse of Florida State looks like he could go somewhere in the round one to round two range. Now, this is good because it means that if he gets pushed into the Jets range, he could knock some of the players down that they want at a different position. Or if the Jets trade back, Verse could be in the mix for another team to take, and that would also mean that the Jets could get somebody else along the offensive line or maybe a pass catcher. So Jared Verse, I had thought maybe top 10, top 15 potential, but it sounds like Charlie Campbell believes it's more likely he goes in the back end of the first round if he goes in the first round at all.
Yeah, I mean, he's someone you know, we've had in the top 10 of like early mock drafts, and usually it's you know, sometimes it's a guessing game because these players aren't scouted as closely by teams, and we don't get all the info right away, and then sometimes the info comes in and it's a little bit different than what we've had. So whereas like Burris was like in the top 10 of a lot of mock drafts early in the season, but like he's not there now. You know, teams aren't as high on him as some people might expect. They still like him. They think that he could still go in the first round. But there's a chance that he might slip early to day two. It's just because like he doesn't have like the elite talent. He has some tightness as a pass rusher. As one personnel man told Charlie, he's come back down to earth this year. Although you know he was outstanding in the ACC championship. Some teams are a little bit down on him, but then again, you know, I mean, Charlie doesn't talk to everyone around the NFL. All it takes is for one team to fall in love with him. If one team thinks that he's worthy of a top 16 pick and he's the best player on their board, then, you know, they might take him in the top 16. But, the majority of people that Charlie has spoken to, believe that Verse has a chance to slide into a very early day two.
It's interesting to me, Walt, is that there seems to always be a discrepancy between what people on social media and some of the draft sites think and then how the league views some of these players. And one example of that would be Kool-Aid McKinstry, which I love. I absolutely love that name. And if it wasn't for the fact that the Jets already are set at cornerback, I would want them to get him just so they could have Kool-Aid and Sauce. I mean, what better of a combo could you have in terms of cool names? But I was hoping that Kool-Aid McKinstry would be picked in the top 10 because he might drive somebody down for the Jets. Doesn't sound like that's going to be the case. A lot of teams don't view him to be that high of a prospect.
Yeah, it's funny. A funny name. And I think it was his grandma or something that like nicknamed him that way because he looked like the Kool-Aid man when he's a baby. But I guess it stuck with him. It's pretty funny. But yeah, he's someone else who's been in the first round of mock drafts as well. I believe he was in the top 10 as well of some early mock drafts that we've done. And it just goes to show that, you know, it's a process and things can change. Yeah, teams aren't as high on him. You know, they say he is in the top flight athlete. It's funny that one personnel man that Charlie spoke to said that he looks like a 40-year-old man who works at the YMCA. As you know, as a 40-year-old man who sometimes works out the gym, I'm a little bit offended, but I can definitely see the case that I would be a first round pick or anything. So McKinstry is someone who we currently now have in the second round, very early second round. So he's also one of those fringe guys, you know. And I'll say the same thing I said about first, like all it takes is for one team to like him a lot, they could just snipe him in the end of the first round. So. Yeah, I don't think it's out of the question he can go on Thursday, but it seems like he's more of a very early Friday guy.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
Walt, last week we talked about the offensive line class and how deep it's going to be. And obviously everybody believes that Joe Alt is going to be at the top of that class. He declared this week, so that's good news for the Jets. Olufoshinu is the other tackle that a lot of people believe is an elite prospect. But again, this is the discrepancy between some of the guys making these decisions and some of the people that are doing draft sites online and, of course, talking about this on Twitter. Because according to Charlie Campbell, a lot of these teams around the league don't see Fashanu on the same level as Joe Alt.
Yeah, I think Joe Alt is deemed as the higher level offensive lineman. He's an elite athlete. Fashanu is He's a pretty really good athlete as well. You know, some personnel people don't believe that he has the elite type of movement. You know, there's some stiffness in his game. The run blocking isn't very good. So there are some causes for concern from some personnel men that Charlie Campbell spoke to. But, you know, still, Fashanu, I believe, is someone who could still be a top 10 pick. I think that it's more likely he's going to be drafted than the teams. But given the need at offensive line, he could go higher. He's currently going at number 19 in my mock drafts to the Packers. But like I said, the offensive line play, I talked about how bad quarterback play has been this year. I think a big part of that is the very bad offensive line play that we've seen throughout the NFL. There's only a handful of teams that block well, and this is a good offensive line class. So some of these guys might be pushed up. Shauna could be one of them. Like, I still think there's a chance he goes in the top 10, but I think it's more likely that he probably goes in like the 13 to 20 range.
Walt, the fact that there's a really good offensive line class helps the Jets enormously because the Jets have a dire needed offensive line, but they also need a lot of help at wide receiver. And we talked about this last week. The wide receiver class is very deep, but one guy that's not getting enough talk is Johnny Wilson. We've talked a lot about his teammate Keon Coleman at Florida State. And it's interesting, Walt, and I'd like you to weigh in on this as well. A lot of people gave me grief because I was doing a mock draft and I traded down to number 10 and I took Keon Coleman over Malik Nabers and Rome Odunze. And I really think that those three guys and Brian Thomas are all going to be competing for that number 2 wide receiver spot. I don't think it's out of the question that Keon Coleman ends up being the second wide receiver off the board when you consider his size. And I talked about this too, not only his size, but his ability to do the two things well that Aaron Rodgers really values. Get off the line of scrimmage quickly with a quick release. He does that. And then be able to win downfield on 50-50 balls. Keon Coleman does that. Johnny Wilson, not the guy that gets the quick releases, but he is 6'7", 235 pounds. So certainly if Aaron Rodgers wants to throw some go balls down the field, Johnny Wilson would be an interesting one to throw up a 50-50 ball to. Talk to me a little bit about Wilson and then the wide receiver class in general. Am I crazy to think that Keon Coleman is absolutely going to be in a competition with Brian Thomas Jr., Malik Nabers, and Rome Odunze for that second wide receiver slot behind Marvin Harrison Jr.?
Yeah, I think it's kind of wide open as to who the number 2 receiver is going to be right now in this class. Like Harrison, I think, is far and away the number 1. But, you know, I think that it depends on who you talk to. Like, some teams might have Odunze number 2, although I've heard some separation issues there. So maybe I think this might be a number 3 or 4, but still, like, I expect him to be first round pick. You know, like, as you said, Keon Coleman, I think could certainly be potential to be the number 2 receiver. You know, he's a super talented player, as you said. It's very big, great quickness, good ball skills. Like, he's definitely someone who can be chosen as a second receiver. Right now, my number 2 receiver at the moment is Malik Nabers, a very quick and athletic player. And he just kind of edged out Brian Thomas Jr., who was number 2 last week. So it's kind of just back and forth. I think right now, I think Nabers might have the edge, but it's super close. All these guys have great upside, great athleticism. With those guys are definitely in contention, but to be the second receiver, Johnny Wilson's not, though. He was earlier in the mock draft process. He's another guy who's fallen a little bit. We've heard some like Calvin Benjamin comparisons, which, you know, doesn't sound great. It's like a guy who never panned out. He's another huge receiver who just couldn't, like, he just wasn't great at separating. And Johnny Wilson's dropped a handful of passes this season, which has been a concern as well. So he's someone like him is definitely out of the running to be the number 2 receiver. In fact, I have him in the second round of my mock draft. There are just so many good receivers that they could push him out. But even still, like, there are some concerns with him. So I think it's more likely than not that he drops into Friday.
I want to talk a little bit about the linebacker class here, Walt, because that's a need that the Jets have that a lot of people keep forgetting about. Now, obviously, wide receiver, offensive line, and maybe tight end if the right guy is available take precedence here, because the Jets desperately need to upgrade their offense. We all know that. But at linebacker, they've got Quincy Williams, who is playing outstanding this year. CJ Mosley's played really well, but he's getting older. How much longer is he going to be around? So they need to get some linebackers in here, not to mention, of course, help at safety and defensive tackle. But as far as the linebacker position goes, it looks like there are some players that could come off the board day two and three that could be pretty helpful.
Yeah, there's a handful of players who are deemed as like being like very quality second round picks and maybe third round. There's a chance that one or two of them go in the first round, but generally, you know, off-ball linebacker is a position that tends to go later than people think. Another one is non-pass rushing defensive tackle. You know, unless you're the Cowboys and drafting Mozzie Smith, usually these players go in like round two. Maris Leafo from Notre Dame, Cedric Gray from North Carolina, Danny Sussman from Oklahoma, Barrett Carter from Clemson, Edgerrin Cooper from Texas A&M, Tommy Eichenberg from Ohio State, Jamon Dumas Johnson from Georgia, and then Jeremiah Trotter Jr. from Clemson. All these guys are viewed highly as second-round prospects. Trotter is someone I've had in the first round. Not sure if he's still there. He still might be in the first round right now. He's on the edge. A bunch of other guys, especially the first couple I mentioned, have a decent chance of going in the first round as well. I just think that, like I said before, this is a position that isn't viewed as being highly premium. So they're mostly taken in the second and third rounds, the higher end players, unless they're like a super elite athletes. I don't think any of these players are super elite, but they're all like deemed as like being really good. And, you know, it depends on what teams need. And, you know, you can see them go in any order really in the second day of the draft, but, you know, come Friday, if your team needs a linebacker, you know, there are a lot of options for them.
Walt, Dallas Turner is a guy that hasn't gotten enough talk, I don't think, as a pass rusher. A lot of people very, very high on him. He's getting Brian Burns comparisons, according to your guy, Charlie Campbell. Does this mean he's somebody that could jump into the top 10 and maybe push a player down for the Jets?
Yeah, I think last week we're trying to like brainstorm what the Jets could do if they traded down to like number 11 or something like that. Like who would be the top 10 guys off the board? I think that you'd see four quarterbacks. You'd see a pass rusher. You'd see two receivers, possibly you know, maybe a tight end, and so like and two offensive linemen. One of the pass rushers could be Dallas Turner. I currently have him number 13 in my mock draft, but I mean, he definitely has some Brian Burns comparisons. He's extremely fast off the edge, and he plays better in run defense than Brian Burns did. And that's kind of why Brian Burns slipped a little bit in the draft where he went. He went number 16 overall to Carolina the year he came out. But Dallas Turner is better against the run than Burns was. So, I think that yeah, there's definitely a chance that he goes in the top 10 at the combine. He should really show out, and I think that could really push him over the edge. But yeah, right now he's number 13, but there's definitely a possibility that he goes in the top 10 and he pushes someone down for the Jets. You know, maybe the Jets' number two offensive tackle preference, for example, or their number two receiver they have on the board, for example. So. Yeah, I think that, you know, during the combine, if Dallas Turner is, if you're rooting for the Jets, you're rooting for Dallas Turner to have a great combine.
Walt, I want to do a lightning round with you. I want to go through some of the early matchups here in bowl season. We'll get to the bigger matchups later on. Perhaps we'll start getting into them next week. I'm going to name the two teams playing. And now we don't know for sure which players are going to be in the game or not. But either way, when I say the schools, if there's anybody that stands out in your mind as somebody that would be worth watching if he's playing in the game or worth looking up perhaps on YouTube or one of the scouting sites to check out as a potential prospect for the Jets, We're going to go down each one of these and have you list out the guys that come into your mind. If nobody comes into your mind from one of these matchups, that's okay too, because obviously some of these schools are a little bit more obscure than the ones that we're going to be watching closer to New Year's Day. The first matchup is 11 a.m. on Saturday, December 16th, Georgia Southern and Ohio. We've also got Howard versus Florida A&M that day. New Mexico State takes on Fresno State. And then we get some bigger name schools. UCLA goes up against Boise State, and Cal goes up against Texas Tech. Anybody in those games that, again, if they're playing, would be worth paying attention to, or they'd be worth looking up if they're not playing in the bowl game?
Well, UCLA has the big prospect that kind of referenced earlier, Laiatu Latu from UCLA, the extremely talented edge rusher. I think that I have him number five to Chicago. He's an elite pass rusher. He's the first defensive player off the board. He is just an incredible athlete. He's a very strong frame. He's just everything you want from a pass rusher. That's why he's almost certainly going to be the first defensive player off the board. So he's definitely like the main player that you're looking out for on the first day of the draft or the first day of the bowl season. But you know, as you said, like they're going to be better games like going forward. But so you're not going to usually see much out of the first day of the bowl season. So it's kind of cool that we get to see him at least that first Saturday.
Walter Cherepinski, my buddy, who is the owner and founder of WalterFootball.com. Thanks so much for coming on and talking Jet-centric draft with me. Really appreciate it. For those who want to check out everything on your site, including, like you said, some possible wagers, even if you're not watching for draft prospects, you might watch because you put a few bucks on the game. Walt's going to help you decide what the best wagers will be. Plus, a lot of fantasy football stuff, year-round draft coverage. You guys do it all at WalterFootball.com.
Yeah, all the content's free. So, yeah, check out WalterFootball.com. We have everything with the NFL, not just draft stuff. So Charlie and I have mock drafts updated both for 2024 and 2025. Picks against the spread for the NFL, college football. And then once the football season's over, we're going to have NBA stuff as well. We're going to grade every signing, grade every trade, grade every coach firing once that happens. We're going to have free agency stuff, fantasy rankings, DFS content. We have everything associated with the NFL. So yeah, check us out at WalterFootball.com. And thanks so much, Scott, for having me on.
Always my pleasure having you on. Looking forward to talking more next week. In the meantime, check out everything that Walt is doing over at WalterFootball.com with his guy, Charlie Campbell. And by the way, you'll hear Walter again for a couple of minutes tomorrow because he'll be on with his picks from around the NFL. So don't miss that as well. Also, don't miss what we're doing at PlayLikeAJet.com and the Play Like a Jet YouTube channel. Some awesome All-22 breakdowns on our channel. So watch those videos and subscribe if you haven't already. YouTube.com/PlayLikeAJet. Visit our store, teepublic.com. That's teepublic.com. We've got the John Franklin Myers, Quentin Williams, Bless You, Thank You shirt, the Play Like a Jet logo shirt, caps, mugs, hoodies. It's all there, teepublic.com. That's teepublic.com. And be sure to give us a 5-star review for the podcast on iTunes. If you haven't done that already, easy way to help out the show if you like what we're doing. It doesn't take you much time and it costs you any money, but it goes a long way to help us out. So if you could go ahead and do that for us, we'd be quite grateful. And for the latest and greatest in New York Jets podcasts and content, you know where to go. That's Play Like a Jet Digital and PlayLikeAJet.com.
It's lunchtime at Tim Hortons, and we're serving up a special deal just for you. Our new $5.99 lunch deal includes your choice of any lunch sandwich and a side of crunchy kettle chips. Because what's lunch without a little crunch? And the sandwich choice is all yours. Like a ham and Swiss, Chipotle chicken wrap, BLT, and more. Made to order just the way you like it. Tim Hortons' new lunch deal. Simple, delicious, and just $5.99. Now that's a good deal. Only at your neighborhood Tim's. U.S. only. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.